You're tuned to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. The following program is a rebroadcast of An Introduction to the Divine Will with Father Robert Young.
Hello, dear friends, and welcome to the program today. Joy to have you with me in this hour to continue our study, our reflection, and hopefully our assimilation of this great body of knowledge called the Kingdom of the Divine Will, a spirituality given to Luisa Picaretta, a young virgin, who is called by God, young, early in life, to be a victim soul and then called to a special gift that God wants to restore to the world called the reign of the kingdom of God's will on earth as in heaven, fulfilling the prayer of Jesus and, of course, all of the purpose of creation and redemption, which is to bring the world into the new creation, into God's kingdom. So that's a tall order for, certainly Jesus fulfilled it as the Son of God. Mary cooperated with him in that work of redemption, of restoring the kingdom. And now he says, your part in this work of the Holy Spirit to sanctify and bring to completion the work of redemption is to let it go on in you, to let this work, this fiat of the Holy Spirit of sanctification, to be fulfilled now in us who are living in this age of the church, and it is an age. It is certainly the time after Pentecost, so the Holy Spirit is very with us in a powerful way to carry out this fiat of God, this let it be done to me of God as it's fulfilled through us in the church. So let's pray that God will use us to make that happen in whatever ways he desires, and that we can simply cooperate, correspond, and work with him to let it happen. So let us pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, divine will, reign in us now and in every moment of our lives, to think in our thoughts, to move in our motion, to circulate in our bodies, in our blood, in our memories, intellects, and wills throughout our souls, so that everything we do is going to be a seed planted for the coming of the kingdom to bear a great harvest, great fruit for many, many souls to come into this kingdom. Come, divine will, enlighten our intellects. Keep our memories alive and fresh so that we can remember what we learn and instruct, inform, and convert our wills so that they can be one with the will of God. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, help us to know what it means to live in the will of God always. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, in the last couple of programs, we've been talking about how the will of God is actually revealed to us in the dimensions, well, the spirituality, I should say, of living in the will of God is already there in Scripture, that God has already included it in his self-revelation through the Word, through Jesus, who is the kingdom of the Father's will, lived in person and revealed through Scripture, even the Old Testament, which prepares for his coming. So we've been looking at different ways that Scripture shows us the fundamentals, the principles of this way of living out our Christian faith. And that's precisely what a spirituality is, a way to live our Christian faith. And so, as we know from the Catechism, private revelation helps us to do that more intensely, profoundly, in a particular age of the church. That's what we receive from this beautiful divine science, this understanding of God's will, as never so explicitly manifest to the church until now. So we've been looking at the way Scripture helps us to put this in the context of everything we already believe. Remember, nothing in the church, no matter when it happens or comes about, if it's of God, can be divorced from everything else in the church. The church is one. It's universal. And the way God acts is one. God is perfectly consistent with himself. He's perfectly true to himself. So nothing simply happens, how would you say, out of the blue in jargon. It just doesn't come without some preparation and then also some consequence, so that whatever happens in the church that God does, whatever he's unfolding, revealing of himself, either through public revelation or private, is a whole. It's integral and it's integrated. So this teaching as well, Louisa is a daughter of the church if there ever was one. In fact, Jesus told her she would be so taken care of by priests during her life as no other person in the church has been cared for except his own holy mother. So Louisa is greatly provided for by the church to such an extent that by order of two different popes, she has Mass celebrated in her room for her supposedly every day. Doesn't always happen for various reasons, but that's the order of the popes themselves and her own local bishop, is that Louisa would be given the Eucharist every day in her room. So let's look at this characteristic now of what it means to live in the divine will as we find it in Scripture. We say that this life in the divine will is characterized by our sharing fully in the universal work of Father, Son, and Spirit, and in a special way in the work of the Holy Spirit to bring to fulfillment what the Father and the Son have done. This past weekend, I was down in the Diocese of Brownsville with beautiful people trying to learn and to keep growing in this way of life. And we talked about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church and in our lives to bring to fulfillment and completion the work of the Trinity, of the Father and the Son. And we used a magnificent work, a classic on the Holy Spirit called The Sanctifier by Luis Martinez, who was the Archbishop Primate of Mexico, died in the 1960s. He was also a spiritual director and at the same time a spiritual disciple of Venerable Conchita de Armida. So he really had this profound insight into how the Holy Spirit, in both within the life of the Trinity and in the life of the church, carries out its work, its appropriation, in the words of the church. The Holy Spirit has appropriated certain works, although the Holy Trinity is one operation, that is, everything they do as one together. And yet certain works are designated, according to the Catechism, creation to the Father, redemption to the Son, and sanctification to the Holy Spirit. So how then do we in the divine will share this work of the Trinity, and in a very special way, the work of Jesus, because the New Testament is principally about the work of redemption? Are there parts of Scripture that would correspond to this principle of our sharing as fully as possible for a creature born in original sin to do that? Well, certainly, of course, the answer is going to be yes, or I wouldn't bring it up. First of all, it is implied in the whole reality and mystery of our being incorporated into the Father, Son, and Spirit. This is what we call the mutual indwelling of the baptized Christian, so that baptism takes us into the divine life of God, makes us a child of God, and at the same time brings the divine life of the Trinity into us through the gift of the Holy Spirit. So this is simply implied in our whole Catholic Church and what the Catechism calls the central mystery of our faith, which is this life of the Holy Trinity in the Christian. Because God is eternally present in the past, in the present, in the future. God doesn't, God is not bound by time. He's not limited by time or space. So the more we are in God, the more, too, we are present with Him in an eternal way. You see, that we can also, if we're one with God, we're one with Him in time. Obviously, we're still here on earth, still bound by time and space. But because God is eternal, He's not bound by time and space, we can also be present with God to other times and places. Where do we see a great example of this? Is certainly in many of the lives of the saints who can appear in the present and bilocate in the present and all in various places, but can also appear again to people after they've died. So obviously the soul transcends, goes beyond these limitations of space and time when it is one with God, when it's united to the eternal Trinity. In his letter to the Romans, in fact, this reading we just heard today in the Mass, this Tuesday of the 30th week in ordinary time, where St. Paul says in Romans 8:18-25, "Brothers and sisters, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are as nothing compared with the glory to be revealed in us. For creation awaits with eager expectation the revelation of the children of God. For creation was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but because of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself would be set free from its slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God." So St. Paul is saying the more we move into this state of being a child of God, when we become who God calls us to be, as perfect as we can be in this world, as children of God, and we could say in the divine will, the more all of creation is brought into that perfection, into its fulfillment. We affect all of the universe. So that what we do certainly affects the church, it affects humanity, but it even affects the rest of creation. Why is this true? Well, because what do we learn in Genesis when Adam and Eve are created? They have a special role to play in the midst of creation. Jesus says, "I created this universe for you, Adam, to live in, but I created you so that I would have a place to live in my creation." So Adam and Eve are to be the guardians, the masters, to have dominion over the rest of the universe, so that it would serve God through their freedom, through their use of the human will, to love God in return, to always be in His will to do that. And they would then do it in the name and on behalf of the rest of the universe, because they alone would have the Holy Trinity in them, dwelling in them, and they in it. And therefore, if it's the Trinity, it is the one will of God reigning in that Trinity. So that was the way they lived until, of course, that sad day of the fall, when Adam and Eve did a great injustice to themselves, to us, and to the rest of the universe. So what St. Paul is saying is now, since the fall of Adam and Eve and the way creation has been affected by that, they are waiting for us, who are the new children of God, of course, come through the new Adam, the new Eve, waiting for us to be revealed as God's children in the glorious freedom of the children of God. So they too, the planets, the stars, the trees, the flowers, the animals, the minerals, you know, everything can be brought back in to this new creation, the kingdom, the reign of God on earth, as it reigns in heaven. And Jesus prayed that would happen. And therefore, as we heard last time, it must happen because he prayed for it. The prayers of Jesus are promises. So Jesus prayed that it would happen, and indeed, it not only will happen, it is happening even today. So St. Paul is saying here that all of the rest of the universe benefits from this restoring of the kingdom of God's will to earth, and all of us who are called to live in it are part of the way in which that happens. We are the means, we are the vessels, the human instruments through which this is going to happen and is happening, because it has been going on since Christ, since his life, death, and resurrection. But it's reached kind of a high point now, a greater dimension through Louisa Picaretta and all that she's been able to learn and now to share with us about the divine science of how to do this. So all of creation, Paul says, is groaning and saying to us, hurry up, get free of your own human limitations, of the limitations of your own will, which are bound by sin, by evil, by attachments, by all the things that, in ways in which you use your human will wrongly. Get free so that the rest of the universe can be set free as well. They depend on us. We are still, in a sense, their mouthpiece. We are still speaking on their behalf. We are still their guardians and conservators. And if we look at what we've done to the earth, we haven't done a terribly wonderful job of that. So part of our work is certainly in the physical realm, is to care for Mother Earth, to care for the gifts that God's provided, he's given to us, material as well as spiritual. That's our part in bringing creation back into the kingdom, both in a material way, but even more importantly, in the spiritual realm. And we do that by our own lives united, our own wills united in the one will of God, hastening the coming of that reign to earth again. Another scripture that pertains to this is found in Hebrews 11, where it says, after recounting the faith and the virtues of many holy men and women of the Old Testament, the author says, yet all of these, though approved because of their faith, did not receive what had been promised. God had foreseen something better for us, so that without us, they should not be made perfect. Without us, all of those who came before us would not be made perfect. Certainly, those who came before Christ, because Christ alone, by redeeming us, has made it possible for us to be perfect as God is perfect. And not, of course, by our own, simply our own effort, although our own effort's necessary, but by God's grace working in us and our cooperation, and, of course, all that we do to allow God's grace to be effective in our lives. So all these others who were approved because of their faith, as the author says of Abraham, he was, in a sense, his righteousness came from his faith. He was justified by faith, or his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But they didn't receive the promise. You see, they didn't have the fulfilled all the promises of God. They had some of them, but not the fullness of God's promise, which was, of course, the perfection that only God could restore to us through himself, through his own divine Son. In other words, he's saying that the lesser holiness of these people in the past can only be completed or made perfect by the full holiness that's now available in Christ. We could say the same thing as St. Paul would say in Letter to the Romans about and other places about the law not being able to save us. Salvation only comes through faith in Christ. Because only through Christ are we able to enter the Holy of Holies. Are we able to once again be citizens of the kingdom of God and have access to the full holiness that God created us to share with Him? Remember, we speak of full holiness because only God is holy. And the only way we can have any holiness at all is if we're close, if we're one with God. The closer we are to God, the greater the holiness He can share with us. So our entering into the fullness, as we spoke of last time, other generations, the previous generations, especially those of the Old Covenant, will also be brought into that fullness. That's what Hebrews says. God has foreseen something for better for us so that without us, they should not be made perfect. Without those of us who are living this way of life that Christ came to bring in its fullness, we complete what is lacking through Christ. We complete what's lacking in the faith and the observance of that faith, the fullness of life that God wants all men to have with Him. So just as Christ, of course, coming to earth in His life, death, and resurrection, fulfills all the promises of the Old Covenant, so too do we, who living now in this era of the Holy Spirit, of the sanctification of the world through the church, we fill up and we complete and fulfill the work of Jesus by carrying it on, bringing it to completion on behalf of mankind from all the way from Adam to the last. Because what God does in eternity, we share with Him in the eternal mode. So you see, we share this work. We share in all three works of God, in a sense. Because in the will of God, we have access to all three. We can be there at creation, as He says to Louisa. We can be there, certainly, in all that Jesus did through His redemption. And we're there with all the work of the Holy Spirit to complete the work of the Father and the Son. One of the exercises that Louisa is given and she shares with us, one of the ways to pray and to do our acts in the will of God is called the rounds. Archbishop Martinez calls it the divine cycle. However way you want to look at it or call it, it is simply a way of our living our faith in response to what God has done for us and is for us by receiving what God's done, restoring the gift of the kingdom to the universe, to all of creation, and then returning all of love, thanksgiving, glory back to God. So the three R's, I call them, of living in the divine will: to receive in every moment from God, to restore to creation what we receive, and to return everything back to God with love and thanksgiving, which is ultimately the work of the Holy Spirit. So when Louisa talks about making rounds in the divine will, she talks about it in three ways. Rounds of creation, so that we are thanking God, returning love to God. I love you on everything you made, from the smallest atom or molecule, or even, I think they've discovered smaller particles now, to the greatest particle of life that could possibly exist. And then, of course, when it comes to redemption, we want to say, I love you, thank you, we adore you, God, for all that Jesus and Mary have done. Jesus in accomplishing our redemption, Mary in cooperating with Jesus in those acts through her Immaculate Conception and by her acts and life in the divine will. So what is this exercise we call the rounds? And then when we go on to the works of sanctification of the Holy Spirit, it's uniting our prayer, our love, our thank you, I love you, to all that God has done through the Holy Spirit working in the world, through the church. All of the teachings of the church, the scripture, all of the prayers of the church, the sacraments, the rosaries, the divine office, the sacrifices, the sufferings, the martyrdoms, the lives of all the members of the church, the saints, you know, all that has come before us and will come in the church. And we receive all of those graces and blessings that have been going on through the work of the Spirit in the church since Pentecost. We once again multiply them in the will of God for the good of all souls, which we know we can do in the body of Christ, the communion of saints, and then returning love and thanksgiving to God for all this work, all that the Holy Spirit has brought about for our sanctification and the completion of the work of Jesus. And so when we praise and bless and thank God on behalf of all creation, St. Paul says in Romans, they're all waiting for us to do this work, to finish it. When we do it in the name of all creation, you know, who did this so beautifully, of course? Well, Daniel in the Old Testament, we have a beautiful canticle of his where he blesses, you know, God for all the works of creation. We have it in the life, certainly, St. Francis of Assisi, who praises God continually, blesses God. We have it in the charismatic renewal in more modern times in the church, where praising God, blessing God, glorifying God is very much our duty and our mission in this world. Because that's what you're going to do forever in heaven, so why not start here and now? So God calls us to do these rounds of creation, redemption, and sanctification as a way to bring these works to completion, you see, to help, to cooperate with God in all of his work in creation by creating us, redeeming us, and sanctifying us. So Luisa also, Jesus tells Luisa that when we make these rounds, we're also making reparation for sin and all the lack of praise, glory, and love that should be given to God but is not returned to God of all past generations from Adam until the last one on earth. So this is one of the ways that God calls us to live in the will of God and then to do our acts every moment of the day by intention. Granted, we're not going to think of it all the time. Only a certain level of our consciousness can be dedicated to thinking of God. But deep down in us, if our heart and our desire and our love are there, then we're doing it all the time. So that's why we want to be sure we remember to make that morning offering in the will of God of this day and at night to once again cover the day that we've done, ask forgiveness for the failures to live in God's will, and then put the nighttime also. Cover that, blanket it with the mantle of God's will. So it's very simple. Trying to remember and have our hearts attuned with God's will as often as we can throughout the day, but having that intention really deep in our hearts. And so we ask God, even at this moment, dear Lord, come think in my thoughts, listen in my listening to what I'm hearing. Let it penetrate deeply into my intellect, stay in my memory. Transform, convert my will so that I can live the fullness of the life you created me to live. So with that prayer, let's take a break, a little musical interlude, and we'll return in a moment to continue with our introduction to the will of God. I'm Father Robert Young, and we'll return in just a moment.
You're tuned to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. The program you're currently listening to is a rebroadcast of Introduction to the Divine Will with Father Robert Young.
And hello again. Welcome as we continue our introduction. As we're coming to the end of this program and to our series, we just really want to ask the Holy Spirit, whose work it is to bring to fulfillment the work of creation and redemption, Holy Spirit, to really come and possess us. Take us by completeness and fullness into the kingdom of God's will, and let the kingdom of God's will reign in us as we were created to let it reign in us. This is why we're created. It's the fulfillment of our purpose in creation. And yet, most of us, most of humanity, doesn't have a clue as to what that is or how to do it. How blessed we are, dear God, dear Lord. Thank you for the gift of the knowledge and now the desire as we respond to that knowledge to come to possess that kingdom once again on earth, to live the fullness of the life of heaven even here beginning on earth, the fullness as possible for a creature here below to live in the unity of wills of our human will with God's divine will. So one of the things that we're given through this gift of doing our acts in the will of God and loving it, possessing it, is that we share, in a sense, the gift of God's glory. Certainly we're going to share it in heaven. As I like to say often, the beatific vision doesn't mean we're just, you know, in grandstands or bleachers, you know, watching this beatific vision unfold before our eyes. We share in what we see. We share in the God we love and adore. We're already made one with him on earth. So certainly in heaven, that oneness will be even greater, more profound, more glorious. So the glory that Jesus prayed for that we would have with him, as he prayed, may they have the glory that you've given to me, Jesus prays for us that way in the Gospel of John, that glory begins here on earth. And so Louisa doesn't speak of our living already fully in God's glory, but she does speak very often, Jesus speaks often to her, about living in God's light and in his will. Jesus says, "Daughter, my will, this light you see is nothing other than my will. It wants to consume yours, to give you the form of our image, that of the three divine persons, Our will desires to transform you entirely into ourselves. Of course, by grace, we'll never be God by nature, but we can be transformed into God by grace and have a participation in His glory. So Paul says that it was God's intention from the beginning that we possess His glory. But now, he says, all have sinned and are deprived of the glory of God. Again, Romans, this time 3:23. So St. Paul says, because we're children of Adam and Eve, we've all sinned. We're all born in sin, and we all suffer the consequences of sin by being deprived of the glory of God. But what was lost by Adam, he says, is now restored through Jesus. And so he tells us, quote, those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. Romans 8:30. So we must note that Paul does not place the glorification of the Christian only in the future, but he sees it as a present reality. As Paul will often use that past perfect tense, he has already glorified. We have been glorified. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil, into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Christ. So he says, this accords so well with God's plan that we have already been glorified through with and in Christ now. And as he says in another place, you're already seated in the heavens with Christ. If you belong to him now, you're already living in the eternal dimension of Christ, what he gloriously enjoys in heaven. And you know, this is in perfect accord with Jesus' prayer to the Father, where he says to the apostles in John 17, I have given them the glory you gave me. I have given them the glory you gave me. It's already done, and they haven't died yet. So Jesus is saying, I've already passed it on to my disciples. How has he done that? He's done that because he has brought them into his life. He has already brought them into the kingdom by sharing with them the good news of the kingdom, and most likely, very possibly, having had them share in the baptism of the new covenant. The gift of God's glory has the effect of bringing the disciples into the Trinitarian unity of Jesus and the Father, so they may be one as we are one. John 17 again. So God's glory brings us into perfect union with God and with one another as participants in the life of the Holy Trinity. That's part of the indwelling. We live in God. God lives in us. Jesus prays, exhorts us, remain in me, dwell in me, abide in me as I abide in you. So he's given himself to us to live in us, but we have to give ourselves to him to live, abide, remain also in Christ and in the Holy Trinity. So participation in the glory of God is certainly available to us on earth, and I believe the fulfillment of that living in God's glory, sharing it here, is through the church and living in the will of God. Because the will of God, of course, is his glory. It is what makes God one. It's the source of all that God is and all that God creates and all that he does, all of his works, is his most holy will. And so that will of the Father, Son, and Spirit belongs to us as an inheritance. We inherit it from, first of all, from Adam and Eve and the acts they did before the fall, because they had it as well. And now, of course, it's restored through Jesus. And we share that inheritance through, with, and in him. In John 16:12, Jesus says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. when the Holy Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. And that allness, that wholeness, completeness of the truth has been revealed already in the church, through the church, for the church. See, is the truth all fully explicit? Well, no, the church is continually making it more explicit, but it's all there implicitly, all contained in the public revelation of the church. For the Spirit, Jesus says, will not speak on His own, but will speak only what He hears, what He receives. You see, the role of the Spirit, or the appropriation we know that the Spirit is given by the Trinity and acknowledged by the Church, is to receive from the Father and the Son all of the eternal life, love of the Father and the Son, and then to give it to us. We call in the Creed the Spirit the giver of life. Why? Because the Spirit has received perfect divine life, eternal life from the Father and the Son. He gives it to us through the indwelling of those three persons in our souls, and through us gives it to the whole world. That's our role, to not keep it for ourselves, but to pass it on, give that life ourselves, so that we are also givers of life and the power of the Spirit, and then return everything to the Father. So the Spirit speaks only what He hears, what He receives. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, because He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. You see, so Jesus has revealed it all. He's revealed the love of the Father, the will of the Father, Son, and Spirit in His own life, death, and resurrection. Now He says the Spirit's going to bring it all to completion by giving it to you and showing you what to do with it, how to bring this to the world, to hasten the coming of that kingdom. In Acts chapter 1, verse 3, the apostles say to Jesus, "Lord, are You now going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" You see, they're still waiting for that restoration of the kingdom as they have expected it, which is a political kingdom, and a kingdom, of course, of power, glory, and splendor, like an earthly king, but, of course, having a divine dimension to it. But they want to know, is this finally the time, Lord? Now that, He's been crucified and now risen, is this the time now, Lord, while You're still on earth? And Jesus says, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has established by His own authority. That fullness of the restoration of the kingdom, He's saying, you don't worry about now. It's not for you to know. But this is for you to know. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be My witnesses to the ends of the earth. So what you do need to be concerned about is what the Holy Spirit's going to accomplish in you when He comes, how He will lead you to all truth, and not only that, He will speak through you what He has heard for the salvation of the world and the sanctification of souls, to bring this kingdom of the Father's will to earth, to reign. Not perfectly and fully before the end of time, because that'll only happen when Jesus returns, but to keep doing it more and more on earth as perfectly as possible within our means before Jesus does return. So this mysterious plan of God, Jesus says, only the Father knows when, how, where that's going to happen. Your job, our work, is to let the Holy Spirit take over our lives, first of all, to receive what the Spirit wants to give us. Receive, receive, receive. Listen, listen, listen. Watch, wait, pray, and then to allow the Spirit to use us to bring what we've received into the world and then restore the kingdom, the love and glory back to the Father for all that we've received. This is what life in the divine will is all about. It's also, I believe, what the phrase fullness of time means. The fullness of time is certainly that of the coming of Christ. Things were prepared, things were happening for thousands of years before Christ, and now in that fullness of time, the incarnation takes place. But the fullness of time goes on, and in a sense becomes more and more full until he returns. So we've now reached this moment in history that is a great fullness. There have been many in the 2,000 years of the church, but we're at a very significant one now, where God is helping us, teaching us, really forming us in this kingdom of the divine will so that it can reign here on earth as never before. St. Paul says in Colossians 1:19 again, "For in him all the fullness of the divinity was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things, both on earth and in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross." Then he says again, chapter 2, "In Christ the fullness of the deity resides in bodily form," that is, in human form, in Jesus. "Yours is a share in this fullness, in him who is head of every principality, power, and dominion." You see, we share in the fullness. And fullness, when it's God's fullness, cannot be broken down. God does not give parts of himself. God can only give himself completely. The Spirit, another way to say it, is not rationed. The Spirit gives all of God when the Spirit gives God. Now, do we always receive that fullness? No, because we're not disposed. We're not empty enough. We're not ready to receive the fullness. But we share in the fullness to the extent we are able and capable. But we want that sharing to be ever more, ever greater, so that the fullness of God can dwell in us completely and we can live in us. So, brothers and sisters, this is the calling. This is what living in the divine will is about, is to live the fullness of life that Christ came to bring through the love and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and all of the Holy Trinity. So as we come to do that in our lives, we need to learn, we need to study, we need to read from the volumes of Luisa Picaretta, we need to pray the prayers, the devotional prayers she was given, especially the hours of the Passion. I hope you can find them somehow. These are still difficult times to get the books, but pray that soon they will be more available. The typical edition, I just received a note today regarding the work of that typical edition going on in Rome, and it is progressing. Let's pray that it'll be available to us soon, so that once again all of the writings will be translated with a good, correct translation and made available to all of us. We need to pray for that. Let's pray for the beatification, the glorification of Luisa in the church, so that it can be more acceptable and widespread. More and more people can come in to this kingdom of God's will. I thank you for being a part of this introduction to the divine will. We will conclude this program today. It will be offered again at other times, God willing, here on Radio Maria. For now, I just offer you my prayer and my blessing that whatever little bit I've been able to share with you and that you've been able to receive of God's kingdom of his will multiply. Will first deeply enter into your intellect, memory, and will, remain with you be multiplied through the will of God for the good of all souls, and return to God with all the love, glory, and thanksgiving that only God Himself can give. So may God bless you. May He protect you and strengthen you. May He teach you Himself. May the Holy Spirit lead you into all truth of God's will. May God bless you, keep you in the heaven of that will, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You're tuned to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. The program you just heard was a rebroadcast of An Introduction to the Divine Will with Father Robert Young.